The title of today's message is Theological. Theological. Does that sound like a real long hair message? You know, one of those that like make you think too hard? I don't think it's going to be like that at all. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1 while you're turning there. I will give you a couple of Thanksgiving dad jokes. Thanksgiving dad jokes. You know, I've learned to always heat up my Thanksgiving leftovers. Been doing it for years. A long time ago, I quit cold turkey. Yeah. I like the groan. That was clearly a high qualifying dad joke right there. Do you know why the turkey was detained by the police? They suspected him of foul play. Yeah, that was, put a bump. Okay, enough of that. I won't do any more. I have more. I will not do more because I want to keep this moving. So, you're at 2 Kings, I hope, chapter 6. I'll get there in a second. The word theological is a combination of two words, theo and logical. Now, how many of you know what theo is? God, yeah. Theo, God. It's another name or another way of saying God. And how many of you know what logic is? Not very many. I see that. Okay. Every response, I don't know if I know what logical is. Huh? That's why you come to this church. No. Logical means rational, reasonable, and sensible. It's one of the definitions I came up with it. Rational, reasonable, and sensible. So here's my question for you. Is God logical? Yeah. You start thinking, and you're used to not answering those questions because you're like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I get that. I don't want to catch you in the wrong thing. But let me ask it this way. Does everything God does seem logical to us? There you go. See, wasn't that the first question? Not going to answer that. Second question? Yeah, no. That's easy. That's easy. I believe God is totally logical. I believe God is the most sensible, reasonable, and rational being in existence. But he does things that don't always work in the way I'm thinking. So here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, it says, "And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please, let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make a place where we may dwell.' And he answered, 'Go.' And then one said, 'Please consent to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' So the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick, threw it in there, and it made the iron float. Therefore, he said, 'Pick it up for yourself.' So he reached in his hand and took it." How many of you think that just makes total sense? I know the last time I lost a piece of iron, you know, I just went, "Oh, sure." And I just tossed a stick in there and then the iron floated. You know, some people try to make this thing say something that it doesn't, by the way. They try to say, "Oh, well, he stuck the stick in and it hit the spot and that was the miracle." It doesn't say that. It doesn't say he pulled the iron axe head out with the stick because he could see it on the bottom and just poked it into the right spot. It doesn't say that. It says that he threw a stick in and then the iron floated. That's weird. That's just weird. That's weirder than some of the stuff our government's doing right now, right? Yeah, some of you are like, "Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on." So in my mind, there's nothing reasonable, sensible, or rational about what the prophet felt led to do. And I don't know how God talked to him. It didn't say, you know, he got a thus saith the Lord. He just did it. And somehow it worked, and it makes no sense to my mind. But think with me a minute. What Bible story is completely rational, reasonable, and sensible to the way we think? Consider some of our most well-known Bible stories. I decided to Google top 10 Bible stories. I don't know how they determined this. I think it was a kids thing, by the way. So maybe it's top 10 Bible stories that get taught to kids in Sunday school or children's church. Here is what I found when I found this list. God created Adam and Eve, Noah and the Ark, Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, David and Goliath, the fiery furnace, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den, Jonah and the whale, the birth of Christ, Jesus feeds 5,000, the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Now, I was trying to think these through, and we could go through each one of them. I won't. I wasn't planning on it anyway, but for time's sake, especially today, I won't. Adam and Eve, I don't know that that was quite as weird. I mean, it is kind of weird. You know, you got this dude who's made out of dirt, and then you take something out of him, and she's better than him because she came from dirt refined, and you know, he came from dirt refined, and she's doubly refined, one step further from the earth. I always say that in weddings. And, you know, it's kind of weird, but it's not like they had to have faith in that story. You look at the rest of these stories, somebody had some faith going on. I mean, Noah and the ark. He's nowhere near water, and he's building a ship. That's kind of kooky. That's kind of nuts. Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Yeah, we're just going to walk around the town. Take a little hike, and then the walls will just fall for us. That's why. And I can think of other ways to do these things. Maybe you're not creative, but I can think of ways that are easier, you know, like, I don't know, it just seems to me God should be able to do these things differently, but he doesn't do them differently. He does them the way that he does them. And as you look down through here, you know, David and Goliath, this little bitty guy and the great big guy, that seems backwards. The fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, they get thrown in and they don't die, but the guys who threw them in die. And I mean, there's a lot of things that God does, and God doesn't do like the way we would think it would be done. We would have, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should have just led the king to Jesus, and then that would have taken care of it, and then everybody been happy. But no, they have to get thrown in the furnace first before he leads them to the guy who was in the furnace with them. And so on and so on. You can look at this and you can think of, by the way, the birth of the feeding of the 5,000. I've heard preachers actually preach that the little boy who came and gave his food freely was the inspiration for everybody else who was hiding food to pull theirs out and give it freely. And so there wasn't really any multiplying of food. It was just everybody brought their food out and shared, and then there was plenty when they shared. They change it from what it is, a miracle, into something that just was kind of cool. Here's the thing. That kind of thinking is sometimes what I call theological. Because they try to make what God did just something that made sense, when what God did doesn't always make sense to the normal mind. And personally, I've said this before, I'm a little bit in rebellion to theology, because I don't believe that, I believe there are some people who study God without knowing God. And that's a problem. And in fact, I think it's way more important to know God than it is to study God, in the way that some people study God, because they're trying to figure God out. Like, I'm going to fit God into this little box up here on top of my, you know, shoulders. God's not going to get squeezed in there. God's beyond what that thing can contain on its own. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I don't want to ever think that I can fully understand how God works. Because I feel like if I think I fully understand how God works, I might be in danger of rejecting something that God is doing, because it doesn't fit into the way I understand things. And that happened in the Bible, by the way. When Jesus came, he did not fit what the the Sadducees, Pharisees, the leaders of the people, they were looking for something else. And Jesus didn't fit. And so as a result, they rejected Jesus because they were theological. They knew everything they had to do, how they had to do it, when they had to do it, the exact way to do it. They had everything down to a very robotic thing, but they didn't know the Prince of Life when he showed up. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we have the scripture telling us that God doesn't think like us. But consider this verse, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I know I had it around here a minute ago. I just need to find the mind of Christ. How many of you have ever been in that spot where you really... See, sometimes I think we fail to realize that we have the mind of Christ available to us, but we're trying to figure it out on our own. And I got to tell you, I've been doing a lot of wondering about stuff. There's lots to wonder about these days, it seems like. I scratch my head and look at what's going on. I'm like, I wonder what God's up to. No, sometimes I'm not even thinking about what God's up to. I'm just thinking what's going on. And I spend all my time trying to think what's going on instead of think about what God is up to. See, if I think about what God is up to, that would be theological. And I'm just trying to go logical because the world doesn't make sense. God doesn't think like us, but what if we could think like God? Well, you'd have to get outside of your own self probably to do that. And that's what I wanted to get you thinking about today. What if he really wants us to have the mind of Christ every time we get into a situation? And could we have the mind of Christ every time we get into a situation? So how do I get to this mind of Christ place? John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." They are spirit and they are life. They are spirit. And that is life. John 4:24, "God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." There's that spirit thing again. The thinking of God is not the logic of man, but the thinking of God is the spirit. He thinks, and we attach to his thinking through the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. So the more we want to think like God, the more we will need to desire to move in the Spirit. And so what does that look like? Because we live in this world, right? We feel the limitations of this world sometimes. Yeah. And so we have those limitations on us. Or do we? So here we are in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read you some more. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk." Everybody say walk. "According to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk," everybody say walk, "according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds," everybody say set their minds, "on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded," everybody say spiritually minded, "but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I want to tell a testimony. Remember, we had testimonies today, a bunch of them. And this is my testimony, because we've been working on my daughter's house on North Clinton Street. And we've been siding it. And we've been siding it a little here and a little there. And I've had some guys that work with Mike Valerio and Mike Valerio himself helping me out. And really, they've been doing most of the work. And I've just been, you know, trying to get them to do it. And they've done a wonderful job for us. But they were doing it kind of on the side when there were little gaps in the schedule. Because Mike's crew, you know, does roofs. And so they would have a roof maybe on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then if the weather was fine, maybe Thursday and Friday or one or the other, they would come in and work a little bit. So work a little here, work a little there, get a couple of things done to where I could actually do a little work. And then I'd do a little bit, you know, put up a little. I can do a little bit of this stuff, but I didn't have a lot of time. And so we were working. And we got to the end of the project where we were right at finishing and we needed four pieces of siding. Four stinking pieces of siding. That's all we needed. And so I went to Menards because that's where we had gotten the siding. And I said, I need four pieces of siding. And they said, yes, we can order that for you. And I said, no, really, we'd like to have them like right now. And they're like, no, you can't have them right now. And I knew the whole thing because that's what we had been doing all along. We thought we ordered enough, and then we ordered another bunch that we thought would be enough. And now we're down to four pieces. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I got to order them. How long is it going to take to get in? 3 weeks. Four pieces away from being finished, and now we got to wait 3 weeks. And then I'm like, okay, I just want to order four pieces of siding. No, you can't order four pieces of siding. You have to order a dozen. They come in boxes of a dozen. So you have to order a dozen. I said, well, I can bring them back, right? Yeah, but there's a restocking fee. But I'm trying to stay cool because I want to treat them as though, you know, what if Jesus is waiting on me and I just don't recognize him? And as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. I've been preaching some of this stuff, so I'm like, oh, okay. Is there any way around this? Like, is there another place that has some of the siding? Well, yes, sir. They have 62 pieces in Lima. Cool. And I can go down there and get it. Oh, yes, you can go down there and get it. I'm like, cool. So I called up Mike because my little truck wasn't big enough to stick 12-foot pieces of siding in or whatever they are. They were too long. So he's like, yeah, we'll just go down. I said, I'll take you down there and I'll get you Happy Days. Anybody been to Happy Days in Lima? Woohoo! Yeah, we're going to Happy Days. We'll drive down and we'll get the siding and then we'll have it and then we can finish up real quick. He's like, okay, let's do that. And so he was, you know, what day or what, and we marked the time and he came and got me in the morning. We started heading that way and I thought, I'm going to call Lima just to make sure. So I call him up, get a hold of the first guy. He doesn't know what I'm talking about. I have to hang up with him, get the I want to say VIN number. That's not it. The what's it? SKU. I got the SKU. And I called him back and I got a hold of a different person and I gave him the SKU and he says, yeah, we got him. 62 pieces. I'm like, cool. We're on our way. He goes, okay. And so we're just driving down. We're having the greatest time. We're just talking about stuff, silly stuff. We were enjoying each other's company. It was really a good time. You know, a lot of times I'm with Mike, we're working, you know, on something. That's what we've been doing all this year, a little here and a little there. So this was just nice, just to relax. And we get down there and I walk to the back. You got to walk to the back to order the siding at the counter in the back. You can't just order. And then they print you out a thing and then you take it up to the front and then you pay for it. And then you go out to the yard and you scan the thing and you go out and you find your pieces. And we get out there and there's an old guy out there and he's like, we ain't got any of that. I don't know what they told you up front, but that ain't here. And he goes, well, maybe. Wait. And he goes, run. Drives off on a tow motor and leaves us standing there. He comes back and he says, no, it's not in the other place either. I said, we drove all the way down here. You know, we got time. And then I'm starting to, you know, starting to feel it. How many of you know what I'm starting to feel like? And I'm ready. But I'm not chewing on him. It's because he's kind of like a greener. Yeah, the people up front are stupid. How can you not agree with that? So, you know, finally, he calls this gal who actually wrote us up down there, and she comes out and she goes, well, it's got to be here somewhere. And they start looking, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to give you guys time to find it, thinking maybe that's just the problem. So we're going to go over to Happy Days and get ourselves a burger. We actually ended up getting pork.
Tenderloin.
Yeah, tenderloin. Yeah, it's really good. So we went over and we got pork tenderloins and we're sitting there talking, and he decides to call. He's got a person because he's a contractor, so he's got a specific person assigned to him in Defiance, and he calls that lady up and she goes, yeah, they should have looked and made sure it was there. Duh. You know, she goes, I always make sure if somebody's coming from a distance, I go out and make sure I got it. And then she's typing around on the computer, and then all of a sudden she says, well, according to our computer, we got it. But hang on. She says, I'll go out and look to make sure. I said, thank you. Because it's either just before that or just after that, I get another phone call. And the lady from Lima says, yeah, we definitely don't have it. And so I hang up from that. We're waiting on the gal from Defiance to call back. We're having our sandwich. And I'm just saying to myself over and over and over, what does the scripture say? In all things, God works to the good of those that love him and are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. And so I am just believing God that this is going to be okay. This is going to work out. And we get back to Lima, and I walk in to where you go to get your refund, but I still don't know that they've got them in Defiance. And Mike and I had talked, and he said, you know, they have to produce it. They sold it to you. Like they don't just get to, you know. And so I walk up to the person, and I said, listen, here's what's going on. Not your fault. But I'm not sure. There should be a way. I want to make this a win-win. Like, I want to make this a win-win. And I don't want to have to drive back down here to get four pieces of siding. But you owe me four pieces of siding. And she goes, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I says, yeah, probably not. And I understand that. So who's the person above you? Because I'll talk nice to them. I'm going to be nice to everybody who comes out. I'm going to be very nice. But forgive me if I'm a little firm, but I'll be very nice that we need to make this right. And I was very nice, kept being nice to everybody. I'm laughing. I'm making them laugh, you know. So then this gal calls this guy, and he won't come. He would not come up front to talk to me. And I'm ready. We're going to have SmackDown now, buddy, I tell you. Now, I'm staying calm. And then Mike, my phone rings. Mike was out getting Starbucks. He was out getting Starbucks for his family. He calls and he says, hey, Defiance called, they've got it. And I looked at him, I said, the phone just rang. And it was the warden, and your sentence has been, yeah. And they're like laughing. We're having a good time. And I said, just refund my money. And they said, okay. And they refunded it, put it back on my credit card. And we go out, and we get in the truck. And then we have this wonderful time of conversation on the way home. And as I'm riding home, I realize, this isn't the way I would have done it, but it was theological. It was the way God wanted to do it. Think about it. It was the way God wanted to do it. God wanted me and Mike to have that time. And we did. We talked over some fun stuff. Shot some ideas at each other. Theological stuff. We just had a really good time. And we get back to town. We go straight in. The four pieces of siding are already wrapped and ready to go, sitting against a wall. I walk up. Now, I'm still thinking in the back of my mind, you know, these guys would have told me it was up here in the first place. And then I'm like, nope, Nope, this was God's way of doing this. This was what God wanted to do, and it wasn't the way I would have wanted it done, but it was the way God wanted to do it. And I look over at the pieces on the wall, and I said, you know, here's the funny thing. I found out that the pieces that were down in Lima would have been less money by almost $3 because they were in a, they had the wrong siding marked. They had 63 pieces, but it was the wrong stuff. And so it was only going to be $7. And I looked at the guy and I said, after all we've been through, do you suppose I could have the price that I would have paid down there had that been the siding that I wanted? And he said, sure. And he writes me up. And by the time I look at the bill, the difference between my bill and what I would have paid is what paid for Happy Days. And I'm like, God, you're so cool. Because you think of things I don't think of. I mean, think about it. Isn't that like God? He doesn't do it our way. It was theological. See, there are a lot of people out there running around. They're trying to be, you know, all knowledgeable about everything that God does. I got to tell you, I don't know what God's doing sometimes. I really just don't. I know there are certain things that he promised he wouldn't do. I know there will not be another flood. He promised. He put a rainbow in the sky. I'm trusting him. I can count on him. But it just made me laugh. And then this verse came back to my mind. Here it is. Proverbs 3:3-8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And us Jesus freaks used to sing that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto yourself. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I thought, yeah. He's directing my steps. He knows what I need. He's trying to make my life better. We've been talking about some of this lately. And here it is again. God's not, he's not expecting, it's not what he wants from me. It's what he wants for me. He's not commanding me to do what he wants me to do for his sake. He's not commanding me to do what he wants me to do for heaven's sake. He's commanding me to do what he wants me to do for my sake. And we really had a good day. Got the pieces home, and the next day got them put up, or a couple days later, whenever it was. I just want to be careful, because if I trust what is logical, I may miss Theo. I want to be a true theologian. And to do so means stepping back and asking myself, what does the Holy Spirit want? What would the Holy Spirit do here? Is there a stick here I need to throw in something? What do I need to do? It may not make sense, but it will make sense, maybe on the other side of it. And even then you might look at it and go, I don't know, that was kind of weird. But if God takes care of it, how many of you think that's the best thing? Yeah, me too. So I want to encourage you. Be the one who walks in the Spirit. I had you repeat the word walks. Set your mind on the things of God. And be theological. Of all the times of year when there's going to be lots of stuff going on, how many of your traffic in your thinking is already like getting crowded, like it's rush hour? Everybody's already asking you, can you be here? Can you be there? Can you do this? Can you do that? And then the pastor gets up and asks you to help wrap presents at the mall. You know, it's just, I got enough stuff already. It could be theologically more sound for you to do what the Holy Spirit directs you to do than what you think you have time to do. It could be like Beth's testimony where she walked into the bank instead of driving up when she was hurting, and walking in hurting led her to the right situation where she's no longer hurting. Isn't that cool? And several of the testimonies, I could say that today, that's what God's up to. He's up to something amazing. I want to see how he's going to do it. I'll bet it's way better than I was going to do it. Amen? Amen. All right, stand up. Put your hand on your neighbor. God, we pray for each other today and this week and in the next few weeks while so much is going on, so much traffic in our thinking, so many expectations from us toward others and others toward us, and so many things going on, and wow, it's hard to think past all that. But Father, if we will put our trust in you, and if we'll let the Holy Spirit direct us, and if we'll let ourselves walk in the Spirit, and even the stuff that seems to be happening wrong, you'll find a way to turn it around for the good of your people, because you love to do that, Lord. So I pray that there'll be more testimonies next week about this very thing, where you took something, Lord, that looked like it was going the wrong direction, and you turned it around in a way that no one expected. And yet, Lord, that's what you like to do every day. Help us to see it when you're doing it, Lord. You do it more often than we know. And so give us, Lord, the vision. We pray for one another, Lord, that this will be a great week, that we will have a great time, that we will find ourselves in the right place to harvest the kingdom's benefits that are coming into our lives and to pass them out to others who need them. And all this we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.